Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is We Have Communicators, episode 128, recorded on June 14th, 2011. Enjoy! All right, it's time for We Have Communicators, the show that covers all things iPhone, iPod Touch, App Store, iTunes, iPad, and all that fun stuff. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me, from the Mac Observer, is Jeff Gamet.
Hey, Michael. As always, great to be here. And how are you doing?
I'm doing wonderfully.
Excellent.
Also here, Chris Breen from Macworld. Hey, Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks.
It's great to have you. It's been a while.
It has been a while. It's great to be back.
Have you been here since the since we changed the name?
Yes, I believe I have.
Okay, cool. So
yeah. Wait, we changed the name?
Yeah, at some point we were something else, and now we have communicators.
Huh.
Yeah. So
good for us.
Yeah, good for us. And of course, Adam Christensen is the one who came up with the name. Adam, welcome, as usual.
Oh, I'm going to get saddled with that now.
Well, you did. It came out of your mouth, and I said, I like it.
I don't recall that, but okay.
Okay, I'm sure there's a recording somewhere deep in the archives.
Happy to have coined the name. I'm obviously just kidding. Okay. And glad to be here back from camping.
From vacay. How was that?
Good. I still smell like smoke.
Oh, that's a nice thing to smell like.
Yeah. It seems to have.
Yeah, as long as it's campfire smoke and not forest fire smoke.
Yeah,
it's a campfire smoke. Oh yeah, that's right. You're in the midst of the Colorado stuff, right?
Yeah, and Arizona's being so kind as to send their smoke up here too.
Oh great,
they're generous. But you know, so thanks, guys.
So, first thing we should talk about is the spaceship that Apple's constructing in Cupertino. So, as most people, I'm sure, have already heard, Apple's been planning to expand their campus in Cupertino. Currently, they're at One Infinite Loop in Cupertino. And as we've heard over the last year or so, they acquired a bunch of extra property. And I believe Tuesday evening, Steve Jobs went to the Cupertino board and told them all about this new campus, which is a giant circular building that, how many people will this building hold?
Up to 13,000.
Yeah. Wow. And in the case of an emergency, it can fly away into space.
Sweet.
So it's really just a what I think Ken Ray said, it was like a space arc or something. I like that. That or it can flip on the side and be a Stargate.
Right, or just roll away.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's a very very adaptable building. It can do many things.
Well, particularly if it's a space-based danger, you don't want to fly right into the jaws of the aliens. So rather, it's much better if you just sort of roll off.
Just elsewhere. Roll away from it.
Oh, good call.
So I'm sure there's been a lot going around already about this, and I just wanted to bring it up because, one, I think it's cool, and two, if you've seen the video of the city council meeting, I don't know, it was very awkward. I'll just say that.
Well, it's awkward when Steve talks to real people anyway.
Well,
you know, because he's sort of in this, your local city council meeting, you know, not on stage somewhere, and he's going before kind of, you know, in the little, they've got the wood paneling on the walls and the people behind the desks, and here's Steve Jobs. I mean, this is like, you know, having a mythical creature visit you and talk about their plans for setting up Wonderland in your backyard. And instead you go, do we get donuts with that?
Yeah, exactly. That was the goofiest comment of all. Do we get free Wi-Fi? And Steve was just had this face like, what?
What? Yeah. What, do you know who you're talking to and what you're asking? Do you know what kind of tax revenue we're bringing to your puny little city? You know, this thing can roll away. We can put it somewhere else if you like once we've built it. And
it's
they
been
can
designed to drive away. But yeah, so check out that video if you want to get some awkward laughs, I would say. It's also a nice presentation. But, you know, the one thing that I thought was, come on, the guy's coming to talk to you professionally about this thing. You know, don't try to worship him over it. He's just there telling you what's up. But anyway.
Now, did you see the follow-up the next day where the city council did their public response?
Basically saying that there's no way they're not going to allow it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By 2015, it should be up. And isn't there there's a page on Apple's site somewhere, right, where you can check out the plans?
The Cupertino City site.
Oh, okay.
Has a whole webpage devoted just to the Apple Shrine.
Oh, cool.
So it's not apple.com/mothership.
it should be.
Yeah. Well, I have that shirt.
The webpage. Is it nicely designed, or is it something that Apple's going to object to?
Now, it's one of the nicest government websites I've seen.
Oh, okay. So I imagine Apple's had some input in. So this was not done with iWeb, so it's still going to exist a year from now.
Exactly.
Most likely, yeah.
Yeah, so that is in our list of things to touch on, even though it's not really an iPhone thing. So, but Steve Jobs has confirmed via email, a very terse email, a Steve Jobs email, that iWeb will be going away after the transition to iCloud is complete. So for those of you who are still using iWeb, I think you still have until June 30th, 2012 to move to something else. But...
Right.
Well, and I find it funny how everybody's reacting like suddenly like iWeb is just going to like, it's going to poof. It's going to stop working. Right?
Yeah, iWeb will continue to work. And you can even point it to other servers.
Yeah, like it has FTP files. Built in.
Yeah.
Oh, see, I didn't even think
about
that.
That's what requires, though, because I think so many people use iWeb and pointed it at MobileMe.
Right.
And it certainly will come a point where you point it at MobileMe and you get a big, huh? Because there isn't going to be a MobileMe address anymore. So those people who don't know how to point it at a different web server are going to go, ah. But yeah. I think the good news is that it's going to be rolled into iDVD. And so
oh, perfect.
For $50.
Burn your website right to a DVD.
Exactly.
Or build web interfaces for all of your movies.
Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah.
That's like the future.
Yeah. Okay. So OS X Lion will be getting a feature that us iPhone users enjoy and I think is a very useful addition, Find My Mac. Just like Find My iPhone, you can now find your Mac. Of course, you don't have GPS in your Mac, so it uses Wi-Fi to triangulate a good idea of where your Mac is. And I did try it on my MacBook Pro, and it was... It was fairly accurate. It, you know, when I had to use Find My iPhone to retrieve my stolen iPhone from Six Flags, I was able to get the police to come out to where I thought the iPhone was, and we were fairly sure as to its location in one of two houses. So I guess it would really depend on where your Mac is at the time it's stolen and how good the triangulation is, but...
I'm just wondering if when you ran it on your MacBook Pro, if it just popped up and said, I'm right here in front of you, stupid.
Stop using these services when you don't need them. So the interesting thing about this, so you can do the play sound and send message thing. And of course, you can do this all through the Find My iPhone app, which I wonder if they're going to change the name of to Find My thing.
No, Michael, that's
a new party game.
That is a party game. I remember now. So you can bring it up from within that app, play the sound, the standard, you know, ping noise that you can get from your iPhone, which is fun to hear from your computer. You can also do the remote lock, which surprisingly, at least in this current iteration of it, it actually disables the ability to track it. So once you remote lock, You can remote lock it with a 4-digit passcode as you can on your iPhone, but once you do that, your Mac reboots, and then it's locked, and you have to put in that passcode. You don't have the option to log in with someone else, another user, even if it has a password, which is kind of strange, and it disables the ability to continue to track it. So the similarities are a little different, and I wonder if they'll change, but...
They're using basically a way to remotely set the firmware password, as you can do, through using other tools if you're actually sitting at the thing.
Yeah.
And that's tough to undo.
Yeah, that's true. Although it seems like when I did it, it seemed to completely reboot, and only when you got to macOS 10, the new login screen, did it show the passcode, and it has the standard mouse and sleep restart shutdown. So who knows, it'll be go ahead.
Does it give you the option to put it in? I was reading about the new, what they're calling web kiosk mode or Safari kiosk mode.
Oh yeah,
sort of thing.
I didn't see that option after I did it to the computer.
Because that would be useful, because from what I was reading is they were thinking that'd be one way to allow a would-be thief to, oh, look, I can use the web browser, and then it'll give the Mac the opportunity to phone home at that point.
Well, I think in that case, if you're allowing whoever stole your computer to use Safari, I don't think they'll even realize that the computer's locked at that point. And I think if they can get to Facebook, they'll be content with having a computer.
Exactly.
So
it's like a whole reverse trick.
Yeah, like, joke's on you.
Look.
Yeah, and ideally they'd enable the iSight camera too for those who want to see who's actually sitting in front of their camera. As people have been doing using other kinds of software methods, when things are stolen, they can actually activate the camera and go, oh, that's the guy, and you take a picture and then you send it out to everybody.
Well, I figured that was one of the features that they would definitely bring in, even with the iPhone 4. But maybe Apple feels like that's a privacy risk.
It's a little creepy, yeah. I mean, if you have somebody who's using your device, you've loaned your computer to your spouse or kid or something, and you have the ability to spy on them through the camera and record what they're doing, boy, you get a ton of trouble doing that.
Yeah.
And it's creepy.
Yep. And you can also you can also do a remote wipe. So I'm not sure how much of the computer it will wipe. I would assume it would probably have to wipe the entire drive, considering you can put stuff everywhere.
Probably, unless you're using something like File Vault, like on iOS, where everything's encrypted and they just revoke the decryption keys.
I didn't know that's how they did that.
That's my understanding. If you're using the encryption on iOS devices, that's why it happens so quickly, as opposed to if you have an older iOS device that doesn't support the hardware encryption, it takes a very long time to actually wipe the device.
Oh, that makes sense. So continuing on our Mac-related stuff, iTunes 10.5, the beta version that was released with iOS 5, is 64-bit, or at least in part 64-bit, only on Lion. But so, as some people may know, if you have a 64-bit Mac app, it has to be written in Cocoa. So it appears as though at least part of iTunes has been rewritten for Cocoa, which is something that I've been waiting on forever, mostly because iTunes is incredibly slow, and I hate it. So... I've played around with it a little bit in Lion. As some people have pointed out in various forums, there's a way that you can check, or an app can indicate to you that it's Cocoa by the fact that its title bar will never stay lower than the dock, which is something I didn't know about, but that kind of makes sense. So if I do that with iTunes... it doesn't do that little bounce up kind of thing, but it will do full screen. It has the new scroll bars. And I have to say, some parts definitely seem faster, such as browsing the iTunes store. Pulling up your previously purchased apps is much faster than doing it in Snow Leopard. I don't know if you guys have tried doing that, but it just kind of beach balls for quite a while if you have a lot of apps. It does beach ball a little bit, but it seems much more responsive. However, syncing my iPhone was very slow. So I'm guessing that because iTunes is kind of an operating system in its own, it's going to take a while for them to fully rewrite it. So I think that there are parts that are still Cocoa, or Carbon rather.
That's going to make you really happy.
It's going to be the best. I'm going to be so happy. You'll hear about it on this podcast for sure. So moving to actual iOS. In iOS 5, of course, we have iMessages replacing the standard Messages app, and of course on non-iPhone devices, iPads and iPod Touches, it's just simply Messages, so you can message between different iOS devices. There have been a little more details showing up for that. Basically, if the way it works, if you're using iPhone to iPhone iMessages, you register your iPhone number as your iMessage contact ID. And so when you start messaging someone who also has iMessages, it's pretty transparent as far as what I can see through these screenshots and this little walkthrough that I've been looking through on Cult of Mac, I believe. And so basically, if you go to text someone and they have iMessages, it changes color from green to blue. So the actual send button is stays blue, but now the bubbles are blue to indicate that this is an iMessage, as opposed to if you're texting someone, the send message button is green now, and the text bubbles are green to indicate that they're text messages. So that's a nice little indication, or a little tweak to make it nice and seamless.
Is that a problem for colorblind people? Not being colorblind, I really don't know.
I wouldn't know.
I just wish I had been, had the opportunity to see Ralph De La Vega when Steve Jobs announced this at the keynote.
Well, I think in this way that it's seamlessly integrated to basically anybody who has iMessages on their iPhone, automatically sending via iMessage and not text, I think that definitely is a bit of a blow to AT&T, although I'm not...
To all the cellular companies, I mean, SMS is a major source of... It's my understanding, it's a major source of revenue for these guys. It's the most expensive data that I can think of.
Well, one of the podcasts I was on recently, and I wish I could remember who said this, that they said that the math works out. It's actually less expensive to transmit data from the Hubble telescope back to Earth than it is to send an SMS message.
And Apple did, so they're doing all these deals with the cellular companies. Verizon had to just be, I'm imagining they were totally blindsided. I don't think this was let loose to the cellular companies that Apple was going to do this, but who knows? I'm just speculating, but they would not have been very happy about this, I don't think.
No, that's my understanding was that they didn't talk to anybody about it, and they found out about it when he announced it. and that's kind of the way Apple works. They generally, sometimes they'll give you a call a day before or half an hour before if there's something that they know is going to blindside you. But I think that their relationship with the carriers is not always as friendly as it could be. And they had to know this is really going to make these people unhappy. But I think Apple probably agrees that these charges are onerous. Mm-hmm. And if they feel like, hey, we're adding value to our devices and people are going to like this, they're going to think about that first and think about the carrier second.
People are going to absolutely love this.
Yeah.
The group messaging stuff, how seamless it is, the information that's coming out now to show how literally seamless it is to just transition back and forth, and it does it automatically. And it's typical Apple stuff, right? You don't have to think about it. It's just going to do it. And you're going to end up saving money, and you're going to be able to drop the really expensive SMS plans. And, of course, they'll probably try and hit us someplace else.
They'll find a way. They'll probably just build it into your data plan and say, exactly. Oh, by the way, we're raising your data plan. But with that, you get 1,000 SMS messages.
That you don't need anymore.
Yeah,
yes,
I don't need
thanks.
Money.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Yeah. But yeah, it looks really cool so far. The stuff that's been leaked.
Yeah, I'm a little bit concerned that there might be some breaking up of conversations, because I typically leave all the conversations in my text messaging app going just indefinitely, unless it's someone that I just very rarely talk to, or they maybe said something I didn't like. But I wouldn't want it to be broken up. So for example, if I'm texting someone who has a certain phone number and we have a conversation going, and then at some point they change their number and I add that number to their contact, it becomes a completely different conversation. So I'm hoping that, you know, once we start doing iMessages, it doesn't break that up.
I saw something, I think, today that said you can associate multiple email addresses just like you would with FaceTime right now with the original Apple ID along with the number. So you have one number and then multiple email addresses associated with that number, and you can use either of the or any of those things to send the iMessage.
Yeah. Okay. That's
cool. I would imagine it could keep everything together via email address on a contact as well as phone number. I don't know how that would work.
Yeah. Well, I really like the idea of being able to, be using my iPad in another corner of the house or something like that. And I don't always have my iPhone on me, so sometimes I'll come back to my phone 2 hours later and there's a text message from somebody. I like that, you know, if someone is sending a text message to me from an iOS device to my phone number, it'll pop up on my iPad or whatever, and I can respond to it there.
Right.
And that entire conversation is maintained on all the devices, right?
Right.
That's my understanding. Yeah, and I'm kind of curious if parents of teenagers are going to rejoice over this or not be happy about this. I mean, suddenly I guess the ones who didn't want their kids to have SMS and only gave them an iPod are not really going to like this, but all of those who had been paying huge bills are going to be thrilled.
Right, but at the same time, you can't, as far as I know, you can't send an iMessage to just a regular number. You can't text a message through iMessages if you don't have an iPhone.
No.
Yeah.
So, which is another coup for Apple, because I only have an iPod. Well, you should get an iPod, or you should get an iPhone. You know, it's going to strike up those conversations. Then we could all text together. Yeah. My parents won't let me have a cell phone. Get an iPod. Right?
Yeah. Apple appears to be getting ready to enable FaceTime over 3G, according to 9to5 Mac screenshot. They got a little notification pop up in iOS 5 that says, turn on cellular data or use Wi-Fi to use FaceTime.
Yeah, that's great for all of us who kept our unlimited data plans and didn't opt in for internet tethering or internet sharing. What do they call it now? I don't even know, because I don't use it. What's it called?
It's tethering.
Internet tethering. Is that what the term is? Yeah. But everybody else.
Yeah, nobody's going
to. You can't use it.
So yeah, great. Well, we knew this was coming, that there was going to be more and more data that was going to be pushed over 3G. And, AT&T made the bet that if they drop the price to whatever it is, $15 or something, people say, oh, great, because I don't use this kind of data now, because tomorrow is never, ever going to come.
Right.
And, you don't even think, well, yeah, but a year from now, I'm going to want this. And 2 years from now, I'm going to want video streaming. And I can't do it now because. So I think carriers are going to love this, because people will just FaceTime like there's no tomorrow. And then they'll get the bill and go, whoa, I get over by, 300 million gigabytes.
That's a lot of gigabytes.
Mm.
Personal.
It is a lot. But I've calculated this, though. So okay. I use pCalc for that, and that's the exact answer. I didn't use them.
That's right.
Because I didn't use Apple's calculator, which could have been off by a gazillion or so. But no, if you use pCalc, you're going to get the exact number you're looking for.
Cool.
Yeah, so it's the personal hotspot, which the only reason I haven't signed up for it is because I still have my unlimited data plan. And you can only, if you activate personal hotspot, you have to switch to the new, capped plans.
You have to think they're going to kill that unlimited, though. I think they will.
Verizon?
I don't think they're going to keep grandfathering us forever. That'll eventually say, you want an iPhone 5? Well, in that case, here's
exactly.
I'm not sure that they can do that. I feel like the reason they allowed the grandfathering is because of the way the contract is structured, right?
Now, of course they can do it.
Yeah, they'll just take it to the Supreme Court and that'll be it.
No, I mean, but you're right, Michael. I mean, if they change the terms of your contract while you're under the contract, you have there's a line in there that gives you like a 90-day window to get out of your contract without paying early termination fees. But at that point, they're probably not going to care because most of these people that have these unlimited plans are probably near the end of their contracts anyway. And you know, yeah, they're going to make a lot more money by forcing everybody over to capped data plans.
Man, that is going to be one sad day if they ever do that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, on my vacation, it was great to be able to watch Netflix as much as I want, you know, over 3G. And it performs wonderfully.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, those days are, I think, not long for this world.
Well, hopefully I can get a new iPhone before they do that.
Or we'll just move to Cupertino and camp outside the spaceship. They've got free Wi-Fi.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was just set up a little commune.
Yeah. So let's see here. Someone has found some hidden pref panes in iOS 5 that indicate that even although Nuance was not mentioned during the keynote, there may still be some Nuance voice recognition type stuff being readied for iOS 5. So there's just a couple screenshots of, you know, Nuance dictation and Nuance long, some other word that is truncated and I have no idea what it would be. But it does seem like that could still be in there. Speculation is that the Nuance / Siri navigation and dictation stuff for iOS 5 just simply isn't finished, or the agreements for that haven't come through in time for the WWDC announcement. Although, do you think that they would actually include that in iOS 5 when it launches, or do you think we'd have to wait until, you know, the next iPhone?
Unless there's some hardware reason why they couldn't include it.
Yeah.
I can't imagine they wouldn't. Now, I could see this being a feature that works only on the iPhone 4 and the next iPhone, and the 3GS is left behind.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah. But isn't the idea with this Nuance speech recognition that it will all be taken care of by a server?
That's how it works with their current apps, you know, if you have any of the Dragon Dictation apps. But I would imagine that they're looking more to do that. I mean, that's a bit inconvenient if you don't have a connection, right?
Right. Yeah.
Right. So
that you'd have to be worried about, you know, data usage too.
Yeah. And with the new processors, there's probably enough in there. I don't know. It depends on how sophisticated the technology is and what's required for it. Obviously, Nuance didn't think it would work in current generation hardware, but, you know, the other thing is Apple likes to have, you know, likes to have things to talk about at their release events. And so, you know, I would imagine September, whenever we see iOS 5, they're going to want to have some really cool technology to show off. And
oh, yeah,
that would be a huge one.
Some little extra tidbits that weren't included.
Mm-hmm.
iOS 5 also includes airport and time capsule setup. Hooray.
That makes a lot of sense.
It does make a lot mm-hmm. of sense. That's been one of the most insane things, you know, basically ever since the iPhone came out, that, you know, we have this, you can get the Airport Express and you can take it with you and you can do whatever you want with it. It's really handy, but there's no web interface to set it up on your iDevice.
Right. And it also fits this whole post-PC idea that when you walk out of your Apple store with your new iOS device, you just connect to Wi-Fi and you can get it set up through iCloud. Well, except if you give somebody an iPad and they don't have a wireless router in the house, what do you do? Okay, well, then you get them a wireless router, but they still have to have a computer to set it up so that they can use their wireless device. So you're still in that way tethered to the Mac. And if Steve Jobs is telling the truth and they want to demote this to your computer just being another device, then for those people who don't have a computer or don't want one, just get yourself a little a wireless router of some kind that you can go in there, connect it to your phone line DSL or cable or whatever you're using, and then set up your device, set it up using your iOS device.
Well, yeah. I mean, if, you know, if you look at it from the standpoint of getting, you know, someone getting an iPad, for example, they don't have a computer, they don't have wireless network or anything set up, so they need to get an iPad, and of course they're going to need to get some kind of router for their iPad to get connected to the internet. If the iPad or iPhone didn't have the ability to set up said router, i.e., you know, airport routers, then, you know, most people would suggest, oh, okay, well, you should probably just get, you know, a Linksys router, because mm-hmm. you can set that up from your iPad because it has a web interface. If you get, you know, an airport, you won't be able to set it up. You'll have to have, you know, your grandson come over or whatever and do it for you. So I have a feeling that Apple definitely didn't want that scenario to take place, you know, have them cut out of that demo.
Well, and also you look at the demographic for that kind of setup is we're talking, you know, grandparents and people who aren't technologically savvy. And so you don't want them to say, oh, yeah, we'll just get a Linksys router and set it up via your web interface.
Yeah, go with the web interface.
What?
Put the CD in.
What?
Yeah.
No, you say plug it in and tap this. And then it just happens.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, what would be even cooler is if you could plug in the base station. And if your iPhone or iPad is running or on at the time, it automatically detects the base station and goes, oh, I just found this. Do you want me to set it up for you? Yeah. Tap yes, and then it's done.
Yeah, I can definitely see that happening. That'd be great.
That would make grandparents happy.
Yes, definitely. iOS 5 is just chock full of features, and I believe it's ieatapples.com. Has been busy compiling a very, very large list. They're at 170. So they're going through and finding individual feature changes or feature additions. So if you go to ieatapples.com/iOS5, there's a great list. And I'm guessing they're still adding as they find new things. But I mean, at 170, there's probably not a lot left.
Oh, they're only over 200. So
there are over 200. So they still have more to go.
They have more to go.
At least to 201.
Apple didn't say how many. You know, it could be 3 gazillion over 200.
Probably 3 gazillion. So they have a lot. They have a
Let me check that in pCalc.
Yeah, check that in pCalc and get back to us. Multiple routes in Maps is very cool. That's something that I've definitely been needing. You know, I love using Maps to get a quick route either, you know, around the city, walking or transit or what have you. And it's always been a little bit complicated to get a multiple route or if, you know, I needed to just get around in via a different way. I'd, you know, typically have to go to, you know, googlemaps.com and that was always a pain. So you can check out those different routes from the Map app.
I have a question about that because I haven't seen a lot of details or I haven't had a chance to run across that, but is that basically they just offer two or three different routes, or is it more like you get in the browser where you can actually drag segments of the line and have it recalculate the route?
Do
you know what I'm talking about?
I do know what you're talking about, and I don't know. As far as I can't pull up any screenshots right now, I can't find them offhand.
Why
but
we don't have the latter, you know, because it seems ideal for iOS, you know, where if you could just, you know, tap on one of those line segment and drag it over to another street, or if you know, because you have those situations where you happen to know, well, they're doing construction down that street, so I want to go that way. I want to go this way,
right?
And to have the ability, and if it's just sort of alternate routes, which is what it sounded like it was, I'd like to see them take it a little bit farther, I guess.
Yeah,
still nice to have the option.
I'm feverishly searching for for screenshots.
It feels more like it's the, I don't know which GPS app you use, but I use Navigon.
Yeah, and Navigon does that.
Yeah, it gives you kind of three different routes you can usually pick from, two or three, and you kind of pick the one, either the shortest one or the one that routes a certain direction or whatever. But right. It'd be really nice if we could more customize the Google stuff, just like you do in the web browser.
Yeah, well, for sure there is the option to have multiple predetermined routes.
Right.
I'm not sure about dragging it around, though. I haven't heard about that. There's also an improved weather app with one of the most obvious features, the ability to get the weather for your current location, which is very nice. So along that little row of dots, you can move over to a, I think it's like a little GPS icon. So from wherever you are, it'll show you what your current weather is. And I think you can get, is it hourly forecast too for each day in the weather app?
That sounds right.
Yeah.
You know, between the forecast and then especially the weather where you are now, those are the two things that drove me to look for alternative weather apps initially.
Yeah, I mean, at this point still, you know, the weather app, the built-in weather app isn't compelling enough or won't be compelling enough for me to switch back to that. I've since started using Weather, or I guess it's called The Weather. It's the gray icon with the cloud. Even mm-hmm. though it's a little bit crashy, or maybe a lot bit crashy, depending on it's still way more useful than the weather app because it has the customizable screens and the great Doppler radar views that you can pull up. So if they had a radar map, that'd be an entire different thing.
What about the lock screen widget? I think that's a nice addition too.
The you mean the notification?
There's a weather widget that you can put on the, I think they said weather and stock widget that basically appears on the lock screen in that notifications area. Yeah. But they're really like little widgets. And some developer found out this week that it's pretty easy to hack in your own custom widgets. It's not something that's, I think, announced or supported from Apple. But I think it's the same developer who's been going off this week. A lot of the stuff, Chronic whatever, was involved with some other developer.
I thought it was... So you're saying it's a hack that you can put it on the home screen?
No. So Apple announced stocks and weather.
Right.
On the lock screen.
In the notification center.
It's part of notification center. But that stuff pops up on the lock screen, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Am I getting it wrong? Okay. So, but it's not like a tradition. I don't think they function like traditional quote-unquote notifications. It's not like you say, oh, notify me when the weather gets to this. It's just kind of always there on the lock screen, right?
Huh. I had not seen that, but that sounds awesome if it's true.
Oh, maybe I misunderstood the feature.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you're aware of the fact that it is a notification center, but you're saying in addition to that, it can also appear on the lock screen where the notifications would normally show up.
I would hope so. Is that not the case? Maybe I misunderstood the screenshot.
No, again, I think you've got it right.
No, okay, cool. Then awesome.
Because everybody had been talking about, you know, widgets in iOS 5, which they're over there off to the left, right? Is that right? Or no, I'm thinking of Lion. Now I'm mixing things up. See?
Yeah.
Apple's got me all flustered and confused.
With too many features. It's just a terrible problem.
Yeah, but so widgets, everybody have been talking about widgets in iOS, and it looks like the way Apple's doing it is it's part of a notification center. You can get these little things running, and Apple only has their two official ones they've announced, but creative hackers have figured out, well, there is a way. It's just kind of another UI view in iOS, and you can put things there. Somebody wrote a quick Hello World.
Cool.
Notification UI thing. But so there's promise, you know, hopefully Apple will open that up to other apps being able to use that functionality.
I doubt they will, but you know, I'm going to still jailbreak.
Well, we can live in hope.
Yeah. Okay. You do that.
Well, at the very least they can be hacked in. You'll never get your app on the store, but
Yeah, I'm definitely going to continue jailbreaking. You know, the list of reasons to jailbreak keeps getting smaller. But, you know, there are still a couple of reasons why I want to do that. I particularly still like SB settings. That's one of my favorite things. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that, but that's the little pull down that will allow you to toggle, you know, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, 3G, etc. Those kinds of fun little things. So I'll still need
and
that.
Display out is still worthwhile. It gives you complete mirroring. So it's not like if you have mirroring set up on your iPad 2, there are certain things that won't mirror like Hulu or Netflix. But you with display out, it will. It bypasses all that stuff.
I'm not familiar with that. Can it? Can you do that on the iPhone 4?
Yeah. Well, actually, no. I'm sorry. Let me back up because I don't know. I've done it on my iPad too, and it definitely works.
You can jailbreak the iPad too?
I'm sorry. I've done it. I've got too many iPads. my iPad 1.
Okay.
I've done. Yeah. So I've done it on the iPad 1.
Cool.
Yeah, and you can use it with the HDMI dongle as well as the VGA.
Oh. You know, Chris, these first world problems you're having to deal with.
I know.
How do you cope?
Well, you know, and it's difficult because at the end of the workday, you know, I'm just covered with this stuff. And I've got, you know, 18 or 20 or 3 gazillion iPads on top of me. And then I have to dig my way out. It's tough.
Yeah, you almost drown in that many iPads.
Yeah.
People just don't understand what we go through so that they don't have to. I mean, the crosses we bear.
Oh, really? Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, some people are envious. You know, I don't know why, but, you know,
it's
until
because they don't understand. They've never been buried under iPads.
No, and it's not comfortable. You know, I mean, as round as those little edges are.
Yeah, and as light as it is.
You put enough of them on you, they get heavy.
Yep. Yep.
They'll poke you in the eye.
Custom vibrations in iOS 5, which I would say is pretty cool, especially since they tweaked the way they do it. I'm not crazy, right? They tweaked it in like iOS 4.3, where the vibration for new text and stuff is like a double vibe instead of a single.
Oh, because I was hoping that I could have mine vibe to the beat of In a Gata Da Vida, but that's not what this does.
Well, no, you can do that. You play
the
song.
New one, you can.
Yeah, play the song. Just, you know, really pay attention. You have to do it yourself. You have to tap out the beat, but you can do that.
Ah, cool.
Yeah. iCal landscape view for week view. That's for Jeff.
Yes, that's for me. I'm sorry. I have this image in my head standing at Macworld Expo, you know, like inside the instructor lounge or something. And all of a sudden we hear vup, and everyone looks over and Chris is getting a phone call.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely going to set that up once this is done.
That sounds like good times.
I dibs it. Anybody out there listening, you're going to have to do something else.
Oh, but
that's mine.
You can do a covert, oh my gosh, Rick Astley.
Oh, that would be cool. Okay, like you've dibs that one. You can have that one.
You just got Rick rolled and you didn't even know it.
No, that's right, in your pants.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You can also view how much data an application is taking up on your iOS device, which is fantastic. You can also delete the data for a particular app, so you don't have to delete the application in order to clear out its data. So if you have an app that's getting funky, you don't have to delete it. Just go into the settings, and I believe it's under usage. You can see how much data it's using, and you can delete it. So that's cool. Custom text tones for individual contacts is also included. And there's something called the Tone Store. I'm not sure that's available yet. Adam or Jeff, have you heard anything about this Tone Store thing?
No, I don't think it is available yet.
I think it's going to be kind of in the same setup as the ringtones section of iTunes. I wonder if you'll be able to import your own custom tones using iTunes. That would be ideal. So that way I can have like a Mario coin noise where you get the coin from the text. That'd be cool.
Be very cool. Now I have to backpedal because I went and looked at Apple's notification screen page and the lock screen is not showing the widgets. You're right.
Oh, okay.
But why aren't they there? This is going to be my thing then. I just assumed, like, if they're in the notification center, why can't I have them on the lock screen?
I'm sure you can jailbreak.
Duh.
What else? Huh. you can use your phone when it's being synced to iTunes, which seems kind of scary to me. So, because if it's, syncing a whole bunch of data, and I did this once or twice using, on the iPad when it was syncing with iTunes, and I basically, it was moving apps from iTunes onto the iPad as I was using it, and it was definitely slower. I'm going to say it's not as good an experience, but if it's like an emergency situation where someone calls you while you're sinking, which is one of the worst things to have happen, because I always feel like I'm sinking, like, you know, some 4 gig navigation app to my phone whenever someone calls me, and it kills the entire sink. And I'm usually about 3/4 of the way into it when that happens. So that'll be nice for that.
Now, what's that going to do with a Verizon phone, though, right? Because phone and data don't operate at the same time.
I guess you won't be able to do that.
Well, I mean, I'm talking if you're syncing with iTunes, not downloading an app. So you'll still be able to.
Oh, so like over Wi-Fi.
Well, I mean, you'll be syncing. I mean, you could sync over Wi-Fi or you could sync over the cable. But I think in either case, you won't be using data. So you'll be able to use the phone just fine.
Interesting. I'm just excited that when I do app updates now, it doesn't have to be one at a time, like on the iOS device.
What do you mean?
Apparently, you can get concurrent. So, you know, if you go into the store right now on iOS 4 and you say, it says you have 13 apps to update, and you say update, and it starts downloading the first one, installs it, and then when
everything else is waiting until the first one's done.
Now it all happens concurrently.
Cool.
Concurrent streams, apparently. So that should speed up downloading, especially over Wi-Fi.
Very nice.
And then have you guys played around with just in the current, the latest iTunes update, played around with the, maybe you talked about this last week, because I didn't get a chance to discover it till this week since I was out of town, but the syncing purchase content over the air.
It works just really well.
Magical. Yeah. Did you talk about that last week?
I think we did, but remind me, how does that work?
So if you go into iTunes on your iOS device or on the desktop, you can now, there's a new option, and I'm pulling it up to see what it says, for downloading your purchased content automatically, automagically in the background. So if I purchase a new iTunes track on my Mac, I can will automatically start downloading or automatically push to my iOS devices.
Right. Yeah, that's great. So,
when I pick up my iOS device, that song is already on there. I haven't connected it to iTunes or anything like that, just by the sheer fact that I bought it. And it works for music apps and...
And books.
Books, yes.
Yeah, so if you go into... In iTunes, it's in Preferences under the Store tab. You can check those options on and off. And also in your iOS device, if you go under Store, which finally has more than just the Apple ID on that page. It used to be just that.
Exactly. And then the nice thing is, if you're on a 3G device, you have the option to disable that feature if you're on 3G. So if you're worried about your data cap, you can make sure that it only happens when you're on Wi-Fi.
So if you... I don't automatically sync apps that I download between my iOS devices because I have an iPhone and an iPad and I don't want the same apps on both devices.
Right.
But with iTunes, if I'm going to go and update some apps, I guess I would have to have the apps automatic downloads turned on for both devices. So if I wanted to, does this work with updates as well as new purchases?
I haven't had it long enough to know.
Okay. I don't think so.
Oh, it says new purchases. Yeah. Automatically download new purchases made on other devices, so it would not. That'd be cool if you could do update in iTunes and then automatically updates on the iPhone. That would be cool. You can snooze alarms from the lock screen, so you don't have to unlock it to snooze, which I didn't realize wasn't in there. I don't use the snooze feature. I just turn it off and go back to sleep for 5 hours. you can open links in the background, which I have not tried, but I assume that means you can, if you're in Mail or something like that, you can tap and hold on a link, and instead of bouncing over to Safari, you can say open in background, and, you know, whenever you get to it, you can go to Safari, and it'll be there. I assume that's how it would work.
So you do that all day, you promptly go back to Safari, and it's... will it open? Because Safari has tabs now, too, right?
Only in iPad, yeah.
Oh, so on the iPad, that could be cool, but you'll pop over to Safari and you'll have 50 tabs open. You'll go, oh, yeah, I remember that. I was supposed to go look at those things.
Well, you know, it's technically limited to 9 tabs still on the iPad, even though it's switched to tabs. But I wonder if you try to open more than 9 using background opening, I wonder if it'll force it to open more than 9.
I bet it'll just drop off the oldest tabs first. Well, so yeah. You still have only 9.
Doesn't it work that way though? If you you open up all your tabs like on the iPhone, I remember experimenting with this like in iOS 1 or something where
it just blasts out stuff for you and
drops them.
Yeah, and so you have to hope that whatever got dropped wasn't the really important tab.
Right. Okay, cool. Tapping and holding on a song in the music app brings up a little pop-up, which shows...
With exactly the same information you're looking at.
Yeah, but it gives you...
yeah, but this time you more? You're tapping.
I'm pretty sure it gives you more information than what's shown.
Not currently. At least from the report that I read, and maybe you found a different source, but it sounds like in its current implementation, it looks like it's a yet to be implemented feature, and hopefully you'll have some sort of control over what metadata can pop up. But right now it's album title and artist.
Well, I mean,
believe.
There are definite, okay. So I understand what you're saying. It just shows exactly the same row, the information from that, but you know, there are definitely situations where I'm looking, at a track name and I want to know, you know, there are 500 more characters.
Right, the whole thing, sure.
And I want to be able to see that. But, you know, in this current implementation, I mean, it's smaller than the row. So I wonder if there'd be a way to, you know, it pops up and then you can, you know, scroll along that or something. I don't know. But that'd be cool. It's a nice idea. It seems like
that's
the direction.
It's a great idea. What I'm hoping is that there'll be some sort of setting where you can control what metadata comes up in that pop-up. So if you're really picky about wanting to know track lengths or you want to know the file type, you could click and hold to get additional information that you could control. I don't hold a lot of hope for that, again, because Apple generally doesn't give us a lot of settings to play around with. They kind of say, here's the data we think you should have.
And yeah.
Take it.
Maybe.
but again, I can always be hopeful.
Chris, have you tried, jumping back to the display out thing you mentioned, have you tried Resupported 4? Are you familiar
no.
with that?
No.
It looks like it's something that would allow you to... use unsupported cables, which would be very cool.
That would be a nice thing.
Yeah, because I think
a lot of them tend to be expensive anyway. But
I have the
cheap cables,
the component version. I don't have the HDMI, so that that would not normally work for mirroring. But yeah, maybe that would work for that. Moving on, iOS 5 contains references to next generation iPad models, which is kind of expected, but only 2. Instead of 3. So right now we have 3 models of the current generation. Of course, the Wi-Fi, the CDMA, and the GSM. But that does kind of line up with current rumors that the next cellular-based iPad will be, quote, world mode. So GSM and CDMA, which would, you know, be in line with the rumors for the next iPhone. Although that a lot of people reasonable. Are still thinking that we're going to see... the next iPad coming in September.
With really? A 5X Retina display.
Yeah. 2560 by 1920.
Now, with ponies and lap dances.
No. It was more than that. It was like 4,000 by 6,000 was the latest lame rumor. Right? Wasn't it? So it was some astronomically insane... high resolution.
Yeah, yeah. And they say 5 to 6 times the current resolution, which would be nuts. It'd be like 6,000 by something.
You know, math. I have to wonder, how much money did Gruber win on his bet by doing his offhand comment saying, geez, what if Apple were to release an iPad 3 this fall? And then it immediately became this rumor that the whole world is running with. He had to have bet someone that if he said that it would immediately get picked up and run with as a rumor.
Well, I would not take that bet from John Gruber. I know well enough that everybody's going to listen to exactly what he says. I don't know why. but I mean, he said you know, he had a lot of comments about what iTunes and the iCloud would be, that it would be you know, less of a data store and more of a virtual iTunes, kind of implying that it would be streaming. And of course it's not. So
yeah, no, it's not yet.
I mean, I would love to see it, but you know, again, we go back to the carrier issues with that, right? Because if you're streaming your music, you're going to have some support from the carriers, or, you know, some very aware customers. And that's generally not how Apple likes to have it. You don't want to have the customers be aware of that kind of thing.
You're very astute, Michael. You mean, so what you're saying is Apple is aligning with the experience rather than the feature.
Right, exactly.
Per se, right?
Yeah. I know, it's very strange. Yeah.
Yeah, so which is very likely why I'm sure Apple wants to have a streaming thing, or potentially wants to have a streaming thing, but they know that they can't have that experience, just like you said, because the current carrier arrangements aren't going to make that really feasible in the way that Apple would want to deliver that feature.
Yeah.
So I think Apple, you know, puts out what they can when they can and makes plans for the next thing.
Yeah. It'd be nice if they put it out for just us special people who still have unlimited data.
Well, yeah, and but you know, we do have the option to stream now, and some of it's done quite well. Pandora does it, Rhapsody mm-hmm. does it, you know, and what they set up as a fallback is that if you're going to get somewhere where you're not going to have access to this stuff, you can download the content to your device. So if I'm going to jump on a plane, I can go to Rhapsody and say, well, actually, I want to download these five albums and stick it on my device that way. So I could see them implementing it as a Wi-Fi feature.
Yeah.
So just come and get it. And if you want it over 3G, that's fine. But again, you know, and the carriers, I don't think would kick again because they say, great, this is another opportunity for you to go over your data limit.
Right.
And well, I mean, let you do that.
If they just
or they buy a new plan which says, okay, and we'll let you stream as much music as you want, but it will be able to tell what that data is.
Yeah. Yeah. If they just did it FaceTime style, then, you know, they could probably get away with it. But, you know, we will see what the future holds for that. I use Zumocast. Do you, Chris, use any music streaming for your iTunes library? Any apps for that?
I did at one time. I was using, blah, 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 what was it? Simplicity or?
Oh, yeah.
Simplify. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that
That's
was great.
The one I was using. Yeah.
Yeah. I loved it. And then they just died. And I have various ways of setting that up if I want to. But because I never leave my house, I don't have to. So I just run Sonos here all the time. And so I barely touch my iTunes library anymore. Instead, I just stream stuff from subscription services.
You know, I just enabled something pretty cool with my jailbreak phone. I, you know how you can AirPlay to, you know, your Apple TV or, you know, to AirPlay speakers. So I have an AirPort Express for doing that in the kitchen, and then I have my Apple TV for that doing that in the living room. But I have a speaker dock in the bathroom and in other places in the house that don't have something hooked up to it. So I thought, hey, it'd be really cool if I could use my iPhone to kind of bring some AirPlay with me. And I found, and I don't have the link up right now, but I'll put it in the show notes. I found someone who I believe took the same software from the Apple TV, because it's, you know, just an A4 processor, and set it up so you can install it on your iPhone. So I can turn my iPhone into an AirPlay speaker, you know, wherever. This is very cool. Unfortunately, there's no toggle for it, so you have to turn it on and off with Terminal. But of course, that's a good opportunity to use my favorite SSH app, Prompt. So. But anyway, what else do we have here? Oh, the next iPhone is in final testing stage, according to, I believe, 9to5 Mac. And they think that Verizon will not have support for 3G FaceTime this year, according to them. So that sucks.
Well, again, I mean, we're back to, this is the same thing, right? This is the data thing.
Oh, yeah. The data.
You know, that's a lot of bits to be flying over their network if everybody starts using FaceTime over 3G and they don't want it.
Do you think that Apple is going to have specific deals with carriers so they will know what's FaceTime data and allow you to do that just without worry of your data caps?
It's hard to say, you know, because I think a lot of this is, you know, on the one hand, I say carriers would love this stuff because they make more money doing it. But on the other hand, you know, we know that AT&T's network is held together with spit and duct tape.
Right.
And so when you're pushing that amount of data, it makes them look bad because, you know, everything else is failing when people are trying to push that much data through. So we know that AT&T has tried in the past to do things to scale back the amount of data people are pushing because it does affect their networks. And I'm sure Verizon is probably the same way, that if there were that number of iPhone users on their network, they would have problems too. So it isn't just AT&T.
Well, right, Verizon, yeah. The day the iPhone launched on their network, started doing that whole thing where they're compressing everyone's data.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, intercepting images and compressing them more.
Oh yeah,
and then of course they couch it as we're offering a better experience for users.
Yeah, by optimizing it.
Yeah, by compressing everything for them.
Yeah,
right. Because you're getting it in one form instead of not at all.
Right.
And then they said, well, you accept that from Apple. Why won't you accept that from us?
Because we love Apple and we're devoted to them and we worship them. And you're evil. You're a terrible company. And that's why.
Yep, that makes sense.
Yes. And speaking of iPhones, Apple is now selling unlocked iPhone 4s.
Woohoo!
Finally, in the U.S.
I love Edge. I just totally love Edge. That's why I want my iPhone.
Forget 4G.
Yeah, oh, take me
back
to Edge.
We're going old school.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, because I want to get on T-Mobile's network where I can't use 3G and use Edge instead.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't want to be able to use my visual voicemail either.
No.
Because
who needs
it? Yeah.
Yeah, but Jeff, see, I seem to remember you taking a trip overseas last year where you may have benefited from having an unlocked iPhone.
That's different. Had I been able to pick up a SIM when I was in Italy, that would have been awesome.
Yep.
But for staying inside the United States, I don't see any benefit, at least to me, of having an unlocked iPhone. It's only for traveling overseas.
Yeah, and I think that's the target demographic for this kind of thing. I think there are going to be very few people who actually care to use an unlocked iPhone on AT&T or even T-Mobile. Or is that the same thing?
Well,
not even yet.
You know, the one edge case on AT&T is I do know people who absolutely do not want to be tied to any kind of contract. And they hate the thought of not being able to just cancel whenever and wherever they want. So, you know, I guess there's that advantage. Although I think you always could buy just a non-contract locked phone, right?
Right.
Back in the day. So now you get the benefit. You also get to have it unlocked and pay the same price.
Right.
And I know some people who would opt for that. They'd rather just own the phone. And if I get pissed at AT&T next month, well, I can go back to Edge, I guess.
Now, do you,
if I really want to.
If you want to get the a similar experience as we get with our locked iPhones on an unlocked iPhone through AT&T, wouldn't you have to sign a contract anyway?
No, you can do month to month on AT&T.
With the same sort of prices, though?
I don't know what the prices are. I would assume give you incentive for a longer contract.
The reports I was reading say it's the phone service is the $40 or whatever, and then you have the two data plan options, the $15 and the $25. It's just you're not locked into a renewing contract. You have to, you know, you have to renew it each month.
Gotcha.
So I don't know if it's like pay as you go or if it auto renews, or I guess it auto renews.
It's probably like on the iPad.
Yeah, exactly. It auto renews, but you can cancel at any time, and there's no ETF fees because you've paid full boat for the phone.
Nice.
So,
all right, we have a couple more things to talk about. I totally forgot about our sponsor for this week, but our sponsor this week is Stitcher at stitcher.com/WHC. For those who don't know, Stitcher is a service that allows you to browse through countless podcasts and other audio shows, radio and whatnot, comedy, technology, basically anything you can find in iTunes. Of course, we have Communicators, Mac OS Ken, the MacCast,
the Macworld Podcast.
Macworld Podcast, of course. You can find all that stuff in Stitcher. And they have this great application for your iPhone, your iPod Touch, and they even have a special iPad version of the Stitcher app. So it takes full advantage of the screen. So here's how it works. You browse through the directory. You find all the podcasts that you want. You favorite all the ones that you want to stay on top of. And then you have a tab for your favorites. And so whenever you need to listen to one of the episodes, just go to your favorites. You click on whichever show you want, and then it shows you all of the episodes there, so you can stream them right there without having to download through iTunes. You don't have to sync with your computer. You don't have to do any of that stuff. It's very easy. And if you want, they're also giving away. There's a promotion for We Have Communicators listeners. You can win an iPad 2. Of course, the application and the service is free. You have to sign up using your email address, but that actually is a benefit because if you sign up, it actually allows you to sync your favorited shows between your iPhone and your iPad or whatever other iOS devices. And I believe you can also listen on the website. Is that right, Adam?
I don't remember because I use it on my iPhone. And the big feature for me is the fact that you don't have to sync. So if you have some of your favorite podcasts, I don't sync all the episodes of all my podcasts because I have limited storage on my phone. So every once in a while I'll be like, oh, I know Ken put out a new episode or there's a new episode of this show, and you can just pull it up and just start streaming it. You know, it's kind of like Pandora for podcasts for me, which is just awesome. So,
well, and it also includes push notifications. So for all those podcasts that you favorite, whenever there's a new episode of it, the best part is that it'll put a little badge on the icon to let you know that there are new episodes available to be listened to. It actually keeps track of where you listen in the application, so you can pause it and go do something else if you want, come back, mm-hmm. continue listening. So, you know, like Adam said, you don't have to mess with iTunes at all. And especially in this post-PC direction that we're traveling in, you know, Stitcher makes a lot of sense. So check it out, stitcher.com/WHC. You can, you know, send yourself an email that way, and you can, you know, then pull it up on your iPhone, or you can just go to the App Store and look for the Stitcher app. Again, it's free. And if you want to be entered to win an iPad 2, make sure that you use the promo code WHC when you sign up. There's going to be, in the application, when you're giving it your email address and password and all that other information, there's going to be a little, I believe it's yellow at the top. It says, do you have a promo code? Tap on that, enter the promo code in before you finish signing up, and that way you'll be entered to win the iPad 2, and you'll automatically be subscribed to We Have Communicators within the app. So check
it out. They're on Sonos now, Chris. I just went to their website to check the thing for Michael, and
I saw that. Yeah, they added that recently. It's cool.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, so check it out. Stitcher.com/WHC. We thank them so much for their support of We Have Communicators. And I believe the last thing on our list, Garmin has acquired Navigon. And we don't know what that means.
That was my reaction, too.
Yeah, does that sound like good news to anybody?
Yeah, I don't know.
It sounds like news.
It's definitely news. I haven't used Navigon in a while. I've been using TomTom mostly because I prefer the look of their UI, although there are some things that I do not like about TomTom's interface. Navigon is a fantastic GPS app, and I believe everybody here mentioned that they use Navigon, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. Mm-hmm. So I guess the big worry is, will Garmin mess it up?
Yeah, because I had a Garmin unit, and I just don't use it anymore. I'm sorry, Garmin, if you're listening, but why should I pay hundreds of dollars for one of your units, which is very nice, but yeah, Navigon works really nicely, too, and it doesn't nag me nearly as much as your units do. So, you know, if I've decided to go off route, I don't have to hear recalculating in that sort of chiding tone that that Garmin uses. You know, when the Swedish lady who's so disappointed that you're not following along with her. And and Navigon doesn't do that so much. And it warns me every once in a while, like, you're going over the speed limit. Oh, okay. All right. I'm cool. But it doesn't keep bugging me about it. It's like, yeah, I know. I'm in a hurry. Oh, all right. Fine. That's good.
Does it have an ad hoc speed limit muting feature? Or is it?
Well, this is where I'm looking for voice recognition to come to these devices so I can say, shut up.
Oh, yeah. And then it goes to mute mode. That'd be fantastic.
Yeah, my only Navigon complaint. So the only thing they need to do now that they have the app is just change the pronunciation of San Diego. She says San Diego, and it just drives me crazy. So if they can just fix that one thing, then don't touch anything else. I'd be really happy.
What kind of car do you drive? What kind of car do you have?
A Subaru.
Well, there you are.
Or Subaru.
You see, if you had an American car, well, say San Diego, or just Diego. Yep. So it can sense the kind of car you're in, and then it adjusts its pronunciation based on that.
That makes sense.
I didn't know that. Thank you.
That's smart. That explains why my GPS says you're in a place that's too rich for you. Got it.
Yeah, turn around when possible. Okay, so I guess we'll have to come back to that at a later point when we actually know more information about it. And of course, I think we still have to wait for it to actually be approved, that deal, right? Regulatory approval?
Sure.
Yeah, so. Maybe. Well, Navigon is a privately held company. So I'm assuming that means that there are different standards for approval. And I'm saying this as if I have any idea what I'm talking about.
Just say whatever and they'll believe you.
All right. So then I will say with conviction, well, because Navigon is a privately held company, the standards that they will be held to for this merger are different than if they were a publicly traded company. Therefore, the approval process will take far less time.
There you go.
I was totally convinced.
Yeah, me too.
Awesome.
All right. So unless you guys have any other interesting points of data or news to talk about, we...
What about Nokia and Apple?
I
mean, I didn't really look into that because I don't like looking into the lawsuits.
Right. Okay, so what Apple did was they got up in the morning, they left $300 million on the dresser for Nokia and slipped out the door with a note that said, call me.
Yeah.
Isn't that pretty much what happened?
I believe that is what happened.
It was more money than that. I think it was $1 billion. But they basically said, okay, this settles any lawsuits we have now and that we will pay you licensing fees in future for your patents. And so it's interesting in that Apple had hired the top lawyers it could. I mean, it really went out after the best IP lawyers in the world. And Nokia is no slouch when it comes to legal representation. And so they had some very good people as well. And I think a lot of Apple followers thought, okay, well, this is just a patent trolling suit. And it turns out perhaps it wasn't. And that Apple said, okay, fine, here's your money. But the interesting thing about it is now Nokia is free to go after lots and lots of other companies because they've settled with Apple now. So they've got that precedent behind them. So now they can turn to all the Android folks and say, by the way, you'll notice that Apple paid us off. So how about you next?
And a lot of those companies will say, yeah, here's some money. Because right. Their assumption will be if Apple had to cave, everyone's going to have to cave.
Yeah, because I mean, Apple, you know, would fight this to the death if they thought that they could win. And apparently they got to the point where they said, no, can't do this one.
Yeah, either they thought we can't win or the cost of winning was fiscally irresponsible.
Right, or it's worth it to us to have them mess with Android next.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I'm thinking that's running through their mind right there.
Because like, hey. They've got a ton of money. I mean, it's like, you know, oh, $1 billion? Well, okay, let me look under the couch cushions. Oh, here it is, here, take it. Go ahead. Now go over to them, because they don't have the kind of couch we have.
Go mess with Google for a bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I like that idea. So, anything else? No? iDevice picks time. Jeff, you want to go first?
Oh, sure. All right. So, I don't think we've done this before. Okay, so the New York Public Library, they have a new app out called Biblion. And it's a cool app because well, first it has a really neat interface, but then it just has all of this, all this historic information, awesome photos, descriptions to go along with the photos, and currently they have this whole thing in there about the 1939 World's Fair and all of the things that were there showing what life was going to be like in the future.
Yeah, why don't they have World's Fairs anymore?
Probably because they cost a lot and we have the internet.
Yeah, let's just say it's because we already live in the future.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Okay, fair enough. So it's a free application, Biblion. And right.
Very cool interface.
So it's specific to that World's Fair.
Yeah, and I believe they're going to come out with other additions that will look at other things. But it's just it's an awesome, awesome little app. Just a really cool representation of the types of things you can do with an iPad app for information and education.
Cool. It's for the iPad only, NYPL Biblion World's Fair. You can find it in the App Store, as usual. And Chris, would you like to go next? Do you have an iDevice pick?
I do. Have you guys done Snapseed?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay.
Okay. Well, good. Because Jeff thinks it's awesome. And so that's
yep. And I just picked that up today. And
okay.
Full disclosure, I used to work for Nick's software, so...
Oh, did you? Okay. Well, yeah. You worked for a really good company. So,
yeah, they make good stuff.
They make really good stuff. And this is something that they make. This is an iPad app called Snapseed. It's $5. And it's an image improving, editing, mucking around with application. And you might think, well, there are tons of those that will do black and white or sepia tone or do this or that. But their interface, like all Nick stuff, is beautiful. And it's very intuitive. And it's an easy-to-use app for doing very interesting Photoshop-like effects. You can do, you know, basic cleanup stuff, but you can also do kind of crazy stuff like you can with a lot of other applications. So the real selling point to it is that you can get to those kinds of effects much more quickly, and I find it's much more intuitive to clean up things so that you can make these unreal images that are just strikingly beautiful with very little effort.
Cool. I think that's an awesome description.
Yeah, it looks like a great app, and the interface looks very, very nice and very easy to use.
You know, one of the first things I do when I start playing with apps like this is try the black and white filter.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the apps that give you the black and white effect, it's just kind of this flat-looking thing. And I'll even say Adobe's options, what Photoshop Express gives you an okay black and white image, but nothing spectacular. The default settings for black and white in Snapseed, just fantastic.
Yeah, and they give you 6 presets that you can play around with. And then within black and white, you can also play with brightness, contrast, and grain. So you have the option to do a lot of tweaking in here, and do it easily. You know, instead of having to go in and draw points in or choose, you know, different color values, you simply tap to pull up a selection of the tool you want. You drag up if you want brightness or contrast or grain, and then you swipe left to right to apply more or less of whatever that setting is. So it's incredibly intuitive. But I wouldn't have expected less from Nick Software, because if you haven't used their other stuff in Photoshop, you really should if you can afford it. It's not cheap, all of it, but... Yeah, you do. It produces spectacular results.
Yeah, if I can throw in one thing, you know, having worked there, the one technology that is throughout their applications, and I was glad to see made it to the iPad because I know it wasn't easy to do, is the selective adjustment with what they call their control point technology.
Mm-hmm.
Which allows you to make selective brightness, in this app, brightness, saturation, and contrast adjustments to areas. And the way you do it is you add a little point and you tap in the area, and then it will select a color range, and then you can pinch to make that selection larger or smaller. And so it basically does masking without having to draw a layer mask, and then you can selectively apply either brightness, saturation, or contrast adjustments to an area of your photo. And that works in the touch interface because they've kind of really thought about it with this app. I think that's the key to this app when you're comparing it to other image editing apps, is that it really was designed, it feels like, from the ground up for a touch interface, which I'm not convinced all the other apps that are out there that are doing these sorts of things really were. I don't think they gave that kind of thought to it. So
yeah, I think that's a really good point, because I do think that other apps like this, they try to wrap the touch interface around what's basically a computer program.
Right.
And this, it doesn't feel that way at all. It really feels like they really thought about the touch interface. And then from there, thinking, we have to make this intuitive, we have to make it touch-worthy. And then from there, let's see what we can do in that regard. And they've done very well.
And so far, it's performed well, too. I mean, knowing the kinds of things that are going on under the hood is, you know, it actually performs quite well. Mm. And I haven't had that experience with all of the image editing apps that I've played with. So.
Now,
I was impressed when I downloaded it today.
I got to ask you guys, because I don't use image editing software on my iPhone or on my iPad, mostly because whenever I take a photo, it's either on my iPhone and I don't really feel that compelled to do anything with it on my iPhone. And when I take a more quote unquote professional photo, I'll use an actual camera. So are you guys using this application or these types of applications with photos that you take on all of your cameras or just on iPad photos, or how does that workflow go for you guys?
Well, for me, it's photos that typically are going to come from my iPhone unless someone else is giving me a camera card to offload images, and they will go to my iPad. Mm-hmm. And then if I need to make any image correction for whatever reason, then I can do it and then send off the images wherever they need to go.
So it's mostly like a camera card situation for you guys.
Sure.
I do both. I'll grab stuff from my library. It depends on what I'm doing. If it's something I'm going to get ready to post to Facebook or something like that. Like with this Nick app, what I found is interesting is I have a bunch of apps that are just for cropping. I mean, I don't know why.
Yeah.
I guess cropping is going to be built in, right? In iOS 5, thank God. But, you know, I always need to do cropping. And, I'll pull images through the USB camera connection kit from my iPhone to my iPad to work on, just because it's nicer to work on image editing stuff over there.
Oh, yeah.
I'll take stuff right from my iPhone and work with it on my iPhone. In this case, Snapseed's an iPad app. So what I would probably do is shoot it with my iPhone because I that's a much better camera, and then suck it in with the USB connection kit. The classic example was this, you know, when I was on, I did that a few times when I was on this vacation. I had my iPad and my iPhone with me and the camera connection kit, and I'd be out, you know, taking snapshots with my iPhone throughout the day, and then at night, pull them back over to my iPad and grab the best ones and kind of tweak them and then post them up to different photo services and things like that. So it's a really good workflow.
And Chris, what do you generally do?
My office is downstairs, and I keep my I walk around with my iPad everywhere. So I take it upstairs at the end of the day. I also have a point and shoot upstairs because we have a lot of wildlife around here. So I like to grab shots of them when I can. And when I do that, I just have the camera connector upstairs. And so I shove the SD card into there, suck it into the iPad, and then do a little image editing there. Sometimes I'll post, you know, pictures of the 17 skunks that are outside and put them on Twitter, and people go, ah, that's scary. And indeed it is.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Yeah. I definitely think that these types of apps will be very, very useful when we get the iCloud photo stream.
Yeah.
Because we're going to be getting the full res images, right? As far as we can tell by what Apple has said.
I believe so.
Yeah.
Again, I'm hoping they take the approach that they've taken with some of the with music on, you know, the iPad and stuff like that, where you can get the full thing, but that there's maybe an option to downsample just for data reasons and storage reasons and stuff like that. I don't always need the full, you know, 10 megapixel image from my digital SLR on my iPad to post on Flickr or Facebook or something like that. I often prefer to have a smaller file.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I don't
know. There'll be some way to control that.
Well, cool. So Your pick was Snapseed for iPad. It's $5. One word, Snapseed, and you can find that in the App Store. Adam, what is your pick?
Well, I was going to pick Snapseed, so I'm very glad that Chris did.
Sorry.
No, perfect, because I was waffling right beforehand as to which one I was going to pick, because I found another one that cropped up for me right before I left on my vacation. I had to move the Maccast servers. And I was kind of monitoring the DNS switchover, and I wanted to check a few things. I wanted to check on my network and through different DNS servers. And so I wanted a simple ping application for my iPhone or iPad. And I did some searching on the App Store, and I came across one called System Scope Lite for the iPad. It's from Typhoon, I think it is. T-Y-P-H-U-U-N. So one of those creative spellings. They also have a version for the iPhone, but the iPhone one I think is called Ping Scope Lite.
Yep.
And basically the Lite version will let you put in up to 5 URLs that you can save. And it literally just does a ping, but the interface is just incredibly beautiful, especially on the iPad. They almost take this metaphor of it being almost like a physical piece of hardware with these, you know, silver knobs. And so you can adjust things like the packet count, the packet intervals, the wait time, the size of the packets you're sending out. And then you get a cool little graph. It makes a little ping sound, and you can capture that data. I think on the paid version, you can actually email that information. But for what I needed it to do, I never figured I'd pick up, a ping application as my pick of the week.
Yeah,
but this one was really neat. And so, every once in a while, you have this need to check a domain or check latency. If you're a gamer, you can, test the latency on a network that you might be on. And get that kind of information. Like I said, you can save in the Lite version, you can save up to 5 kind of default locations and just come back and ping those. And so it's nice.
Cool. And for those who are confused, ping is, we're talking about the network.
Yeah, not Apple.
We're not talking
Thank
about,
you, Michael. Yes, yeah. Not Apple's music service. This is to determine the quality. In my case, it was I wanted to do the DNS resolution and return the IP address so that I could see that the DNS was resolving to the new server and that the new server was responding.
Yeah, there was a good 2 minutes there where I was like, "What is he talking about?" Oh yeah,
talking about network pinging.
Yeah,
the thing you would normally bring up in terminal and you'd type ping.
Yeah.
We have communicators.com.
Exactly.
Enter. Yeah.
Yeah. System Scope Lite.
Yeah.
And it's free.
And it's free.
Yeah. Or you can check out the, what was the other one called? Ping Scope?
Ping Scope Lite. And then, like I said, they have a paid version. If you're an IT person and you have heavier pinging needs and you want to be able to monitor and send reports and stuff like that, you can get the paid version, which I think is $5.
Cool. It for the iPad version, System Scope is $5 and Ping Scope is only $1 on the iPhone.
There you go.
All right. So my pick, I'm really excited about. It's called Seamless, and you may have already heard about it, but let me tell you about it anyway. So let's say, you listen to music or podcasts or anything in the iPod application or music app on your iPhone or iPod or whatever. And, you bounce between home and listening to whatever on your iDevice. At some point you're going to want to transition from, listening to it on your iPhone to listening to it on your computer or, whatever setup you have involving your computer. For me, a lot of times it was, I get back and I'll just finish out the podcast I'm listening to on my iPhone. Or if I'm listening to a podcast on my computer and I need to leave, I would generally go to my phone and figure out, okay, so I'm 34 minutes in. All right, scrub through. Okay, cool. Pause on the computer, play on the phone, get out the door. Well, that works, but it's not nearly as amazingly cool as Seamless. So Seamless does that for you. So you're listening to something on your computer. It works with music or podcasts or whatever, as long as it's on both devices. So you're listening to something on your computer, you bring up Seamless on your phone, you tap the transition button, It fades out on your computer and fades in on your phone or your iPod, and it just starts playing. It's amazing. It's magical. It's $2. And initially I didn't think, I wouldn't use that. I use it constantly now. It's so awesome.
Is it an app? I don't know. Now I'm confused. So is it an app that you use to play that content on your computer, or is it just literally sync up the time code points?
It just syncs up the time code.
It's still playing in iTunes.
Yep.
But there's a little client app I'm assuming you run on the desktop that then communicates to the iOS app.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. So you get the seamless desktop app in the Mac App Store. And of course you get the seamless app for your phone in the iOS App Store. So it's $2 for the one on your phone, and the other one for your Mac is free because you need that to, make the whole process work. But it uses the built-in players on both. So you use iTunes on your Mac and the music app on your iOS device.
And so basically it eliminates that step of having to dock and sync and then get iTunes to match those things up.
Yeah. Right. I mean, that is one way you could match up a podcast, but even it works with music too. So if you're listening to a song, if you're grooving out and you're like, oh, but I have to leave, hit the button, it transitions over and, keeps going.
Neat.
It's very cool. $2. It's called Seamless, and I love it. With that, you can find all of our iDevice picks as well as the show notes at wehavecommunicators.com. I will be including a link to that AirPlay tweak for all you jailbreak people out there. Review the show in iTunes or rate it at the very least. That really helps us out in the rankings in iTunes. We very much appreciate it. You can send feedback to feedback@wehavecommunicators.com. And in our podcast marketplace this week is, of course, Stitcher Radio at stitcher.com/WHC. Use that promo code to enter to win an iPad 2. You can find Jeff Gamet at the Mac Observer, macobserver.com, and, of course, twitter.com/jgamet. He also has the Zazzle store, zazzle.com/jgamet, where you can find his drawings on many different things, including the We Have Communicators mug, which you can get in a regular size mug, a big size mug, a beer stein, a frosted mug, other things?
Or is that it? Actually, I just recently found out if you really want that graphic on something else, you can put it on other items.
Can you put it on some... I think you sell a thong on there, right?
Yes, it has chicken on it.
But you can have our faces on the thong instead if you want.
Yeah, so you could have us in your pants.
Yeah, for real.
And Michael, I don't know if you saw on Twitter, and I wish I could remember who it was. So whoever you were, I'm sorry I forgot. Someone was drinking out of a We Have Communicators mug in the past few days and wanted to point out that they were licking your head as they drank.
Oh, great. So that was what that wet feeling was I had a couple days ago on my head.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, interesting. We're not going to go any bluer than that. Chris Breen is at Macworld, macworld.com, and of course, twitter.com/bodyofbreen.
Right, but not Hair of Breen.
Right, Hair of Breen, that's another entity. Your hair...
It's somebody else.
Well, it's your hair, right?
It's my hair, yeah, but it's also somebody else is controlling my hair, so I don't know.
That's an interesting problem to have.
It is. It's what motivated me to get on Twitter in the first place, because somebody said, wow, you're so funny on Twitter. I said, I'm not on Twitter. Said, well, your hair is. So yeah. that was enough to get me to sign
and you
up.
You had to have a conversation with your hair about why it's doing things behind your back.
Exactly. And the hair, when it found out that Body of Breen had registered on Twitter, its reaction was, uh-oh.
I wonder what the uh-oh reaction looks like as hair.
Yeah,
just stands up straight.
Right.
Adam Christensen's at the MacCast, maccast.com. And, of course, member.maccast.com. So you can find the premium show for the MacCast.
Membership program. I just did a new one last night. A lot of people, for some reason, had been asking me about the loss of Rosetta support. I guess there's a lot of people still using older versions of Office and Quicken and stuff like that out there. So trying to address some of those issues.
Cool.
That's cool.
I don't think I use Rosetta anymore. I basically just use iTunes and Safari. So,
you know, I didn't think I did either. And then I went through the process of figuring out what PowerPC apps I still had. And there were a couple that surprised me. Huh. You know, some old school apps that I use not that often, but it's sort of like, oh, I'm going to have to go find some replacements for those now. You know, those utilities that you've had in the back, like one of them is just one that, you know, puts photo icons onto image icons if that didn't happen automatically. And I've used that from time to time. So it was something called Pick to Icon. There was one other one that was critical to me. Card Iris, which I got with my ScanSnap very recently, as a matter of fact, apparently isn't universal. And that allows me to scan in business cards after coming back from a conference or something like that and get that data into my address book.
Yeah, my copy of Internet Explorer is not going to work.
Yeah. So, I you know, it's better to know these things up front before you suddenly go to use that tool that you've been always using and it just doesn't work anymore. And now you've got to scramble to find something different. So,
yeah. And you can find me on Twitter. Twitter.com/MichaelJohnston is where I Twitter as me. But if you want to find me as a headcrab zombie that reviews random things, that's twitter.com/LIL reviews, Lil reviews. I review beer, movies, food, everything. So anything I have an opinion on, if I'm compelled to leave a review, I'll put it up there. And yeah, check that out.
Speaking of beer,
yes,
I got to throw in one more thing. Did you see my when I was on vacation, they had Holy Grail beer.
Ah. I did not see
that. And it actually tastes nice.
Well, it ought to with a name like Holy Grail.
And their tagline was tempered over burning witches, so I had to pick up a six-pack.
Oh, now see, you bought a six-pack. I bought just one bottle, so... When you're drinking one bottle, it was a perfectly fine beer. I don't know if I'd enjoy going through a whole six pack.
Yeah, exactly.
Just because you buy a six pack doesn't mean you have to drink it all at the same time.
Yeah. You dropped on your head.
Yeah, you do have to drink it all.
Oh, really?
It's not my style, but I think it's Black Sheep Brewing, which is like in Lancashire, but it's imported through New York, so who knows? But anyway.
Yep. All right, and with that, we will see you next time on We Have Communicators.
An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. A phone. An iPod.
All right, guys, well, thank you so much.
Sure.
Chris,
thanks for asking me.
Yeah, we'll have to have you on soon. I'm trying to shuffle up.
You're
the.
You're assuming he's going to want to come back after this.
Well, I mean, if I keep paying
like
him.
No, I like this kind of podcast.
Well, I assume there was still some more time on your work release program.
Well, that's kind of what I figured too. Is that I haven't paid off my debt to society. So
right. And next time you can bring some booze if you want.
Yeah, well, I work at home. I can always bring booze. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, just saying, before you get tethered into your computer.
Well, I have the bars right next to me. What
you have a guy sitting right next to you that makes old fashions for you.
He does, as a matter of fact. And so, yes, Chauncey, I'll be there in just a second. So, yeah.
No. Yuck, yuck, no. Yuck, 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 yuck. No. Yuck. No. Yuck, yuck, no. No, no. You have to get them and put them away and you lose them. Nobody wants a stylus. So let's not use a stylus. Nobody wants a stylus. So let's not use a stylus. We're going to use the best pointing device in the world. We're going to use a pointing device that we're all born with. We're born with 10 of them. We're going to use our fingers. Our fingers.